You'll hear from Ernie later, but just now we want to have a focus on former East Germany. It's a rather interesting area of Europe to focus upon. In other words, this evening I'll not be talking about where ECM missionaries are working. I'll not be telling you lots of wonderful stories about what they're doing and what is happening and how many people are coming to the Lord and how many churches are being built, because there are none. But it is a challenge that the Lord has laid upon our hearts, especially in this centenary year, and I want to mention that. And then later on, as I said, you'll hear from Ernie again, and the best speakers yet to come, you know, in the evening over on the other side. That's Mary, of course. And but let's take a look at former East Germany. I've called it the challenge of the land that was. Germany today is a unified country there in the orange in the center of the map. It's a large country. It's the large, has the largest population of any country in Europe, 80 million people. And the capital, of course, moved to Berlin after the reunification 14 years ago. Down in Freiburg in the southwest of the country, as a mission, we've been working for a number of years. And I just want to show you a couple of snapshots of that, because I know many of you in the church here have been praying for the work amongst the refugees there, and you know that we're over there fairly often as well. This is our team down in Freiburg, two couples. One of them has six children, the other has two children, and we thank the Lord for them. I was just thinking this evening, you know, when a few years ago we started to pray for workers for that area, we had none. But God answered prayer, and I trust the same will happen when we start praying for workers for former Eastern Germany. So we thank the Lord for that. I was over there in June, and I was with the literature bus and the team that God gave us. Three of these men, you know, they came on that team because they read a report from a girl in Macherfeld who was out with the summer team last year. And they read it in a German magazine, and they decided they'd like to come and help. And of course, in the camps, the refugee camps, we met folk like this man here with the grey and yellow shorts. He talked for an hour to us about spiritual things. And this is a great opportunity to meet people from North Africa, from the Middle East, and Arabs and Muslims, and share with literature with them also. Here were Chinese guys who have come a long way, of course, to Germany and are refugees there. Glad to get something in their language. The literature bus has 150 different languages of cassettes and Bible portions and so on. So we thank the Lord for the work in Freiburg. But we're moving up to the land that was, I've called it, because it was Eastern Europe. It was that place that we know where communism reigned, where atheism invaded the hearts and minds of the people. And today we can look at it on the map, we call it former Eastern Europe, bordering on Poland and on the Czech Republic. The Iron Curtain was drawn right through Europe from north to south, and of course it divided Germany as well. The West was separated from the East, and there was really no way through. At least for the East Germans, that became a reality. It became an iron curtain that was impassable. Around Berlin, the Berlin Wall was built, and for East Germans, there was no way into West Berlin and to get out of their country. Berlin became a divided city, with the Russian zone in the east and the French, British and American zones in the west. 1,393 kilometers divided Germany. Stop, this is the border, the sign said. And you tried to escape at the peril of your life. Many died. Between 1949 and 1961, over almost 200,000 people every year 1949 and 1961, almost 200,000 people escaped or were sent out of the country every year. 155 kilometers of wall divided Berlin and surrounded the western sector. It was built at the point of a gun. Checkpoint Charlie is a famous name. When you passed from the American zone into the Russian zone, and of course there as well, the wall was built and the division was made. I think it's important that we understand something of the history of former Eastern Germany, because we can begin to understand something of the people, their thinking, their ways. Today, we were there last month, we just drove past Checkpoint Charlie and took a look at the last Kremlin flag as it flies on the wall there beside it, almost in tatters, as you can see. Much has changed in this country. People who escaped in those years, they fled to the West. In fact, hundreds of them fled to Freiburg as refugees and began a new life there. But what about this area of Europe which spent 40 years under communism? That was a very dark period for the people of Eastern Germany. I remember being there in the 70s. Some of you know we worked in the communist countries for 10 years, and one of them I'd been a few times in Eastern Germany. It was one of the strictest regimes. It was practically, apart from Albania, the strictest regime of Eastern Europe. A very dark time in the history of these people. The communist government built what they call the concrete jungles to house the people. Everybody had a place to live. Everybody had a job to do. Men as well as women. The communist flag flew. Along the roadside, you would see road signs in Russian, 22 kilometers from Lübeck to Mecklenburg, up in the north. Erich Honecker became a household name, a man who ruled with a rod of iron. Uns gefällt diese Welt. That's what the people sang. We just love this world of ours in Eastern Germany. Well, they sang it, or they were made to sing it. And what about the churches? Well, knowing the situation, I don't want to point a finger at them, and I wouldn't, because I don't know what it's been like to live during those 40 years of communism. And this is one church that I visited during that time, and across the road was a school. And on the school wall, there was this large sign which said, "Our job in the classroom is the education of young communists." And they did a good job of it. And they did it thoroughly. And they did it well. And they taught communism and atheism to the children growing up. So today we have these generations of people who know nothing about God at all. 40 years under communism, the Trabant, this little car that you had to order 10 years before you wanted it. And took, I don't know, many years' salary to pay for it. There's still some of them around, and some of them seem to be going well. Not too many, mind you, but a few around. But most of them have found their graveyard somewhere or other and are finished. Money in Eastern Germany. The 5-mark note had an interesting man's head on it. Thomas Münzer, one of the reformers. Well, he's just worth 5 marks. The 50-mark note had Engels on it, Friedrich Engels, a compatriot with Marx, and of course the 100-mark note had Marx on it. So that showed the importance that they attached to people like that. Of course, Eastern Germany, the place where Luther preached and grew up. But under communism, they had the 10 commandments for the new socialist man. And they were, this is an invitation to come to the youth, the Jugendweihe, that's where the young people would be brought together to promise their allegiance to the Communist Party. Some of the commandments weren't too bad. You must help to do away with robbery of the people by the people. number one said, you must always work for the international solidarity of the working class and for all workers, as well as for the unbreakable band of all communist countries. Unbreakable. 40 years under communism today, it is gone. There's a museum in Leipzig, used to be where the secret police were stationed. This was their headquarters for that area. You go inside, you find photographs of lots of old files. You find their machine that they built to bore holes in paper, two holes in paper. Well, I suppose they had about 500 pages there, and so they bored it all at once. They kept records of everything. They had their telephone tapping system. It was all intact. And they had their shredding machines as well. That was under communism. Then came 1989, St. Nikolai Church in Leipzig, and 10, 20 people entered the church, started to pray. A week later, there were 100. A few weeks later, there were 1,000 meeting there. And soon, they were marching silently through the streets. And what happened that we never thought would happen? The Iron Curtain fell, and the Berlin Wall tumbled. And people, for the first time in their lives, could go from west to east and from east to west. Former Eastern Germany, the land that today is, because this is an area of Europe that we're concerned with and that we want to look at and ask ourselves, why are we concerned about this? What are we going to do about it? Where are we going to work? And how are we going to work? Why? Well, there are 17 million people living there. Berlin is 3.5 million of them. 80% of all people in Eastern Germany have no church connection today at all, not even on a church roll. There are only about 0.5% who are evangelicals. What are we going to do? Well, there's really a north-south division in this area. And in the south, if we perhaps look at it, first of all, we find there's a fair bit of evangelical work going on in Chemnitz, the former Karl Marx city. Well, you find the Jehovah's Witnesses standing, presenting their message. There are also a number of evangelical churches in the city. You go to Ludwigsfelde, south of Berlin, there's a school, and a new little church is beginning to meet there and to get off the ground. A man from West Berlin came down, took early retirement, and is looking after it. You go to Erfurt, and you see a grey building in the centre of the city. Everybody knows what it is. That's where the young people came and made their vows to communism. And today, it's a church that holds about 100 people. God is able to do more than we can imagine. Isn't that what he has promised? If you go to Leipzig, you see this large building in communist times. The ground floor was used as a ballroom. Today, 150 people gather there every Sunday to worship the Lord. But what about the north of the area? In this northern province, there are about 1.7 million people, so as many as live in Northern Ireland, let's say. But there's only a handful of churches altogether. I've been in two of them, and one of them is in Schwerin. There's a young pastor from the west, and that was there in July when we were there, as the church met together. In Rostock, a city, the largest city in that province of 200,000 people, it's a young city. There's a university there. There's lots of life there. And there's the university. It's a port. It's a shipbuilding area. The large liners come in and dock there. It's a big city, but it's a very godless city. We look at one section of the city, and in that area, there are 30,000 people living. And in that area, there is no church at all. There are a few churches in the city, but in that area, none at all. But there are lots of people, lots of blocks of flats. A real challenge for us where we feel that the Lord is leading us to send people. But how are we going to reach these people? Let me just share this with you. People in their 60s and over had turned their back on the church and deliberately rejected it during communist times. Some traces of religion are still there. They can remember. Perhaps you can say to them, remember when you prayed as a little child? Perhaps there's some hope there for them. The 30 to 50 age group had a godless upbringing. Their attitude to Christians is that they're stupid and they have no desire to change that opinion. Are they lost forever? The under 30 age group were never given logical answers from their parents as to why Christians are stupid and dumb. This group is generally unsatisfied with unfounded suppositions and continues to question. The under 30 age group, they need to be informed that Christians are not thick and intelligent. Rather, they stand on a firm foundation and have logical answers to life. That was shared with me by a missionary who's working over there. It's going to be a tough area to work in, but we need people to go there and take up that challenge. And when? Well, as soon as possible. Pray for God's timing. Pray for another consultation. I'll be over on the 17th of October meeting with some people who are interested in that area. And who will go? Who will come? Will you? Pray for church partnerships, those who will take on a project over there in Eastern Europe. Pray for summer teams next year, we hope, that God willing these will get off the ground and perhaps some of you can join them. Pray for long-term people, young people with life commitment, middle-aged people who are dedicated and experienced early retirees. Do pray that God will really bring the people that we need and help us to make clear as well the prospect that there is there and the need that there is there, so that folk will become involved in reaching these people in former Eastern Germany.